Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another edition of the Total Sports Live podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. And like we say before every and any podcast that we do, especially these special ones that we give you guys during NFL draft season, you can check them out in multiple ways. First and foremost, you can check it out here on Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Total Sports Live, or you can check it out on your smartphone. First, if you want to check it out through your app store, you need to go to the Google Play Store or the App Store on iTunes, search the TuneIn Radio app, hit that download button, and once you do that, search Total Sports Live, TSL Podcast. Really appreciate everyone that follows us and listens to us from TuneIn. And then we're also on iTunes. Yes, folks, we're on iTunes. If you got an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, if you still rock with those, just go to your App Store. Go to your podcast app on your phone, hit the app, search TSL Podcast, Total Sports Live, hit the subscribe button, leave us a review, download the podcast, do whatever you want. We just really appreciate you guys checking out all these podcasts that we try to bring you guys on a consistent basis, especially during draft season. And you wonder why people bring up draft season, because the draft is almost here later this month between the 26th and 28th. A lot of players' dreams will be made a reality at the draft and immediately right after the draft with PFA and UDFA signing. And we got a great show for you guys today, and we might as well get it started here on the Total Sports Live podcast. Joining me on the podcast is none other than 2018 NFL draft prospect from Weber State, defensive tackle McKay Murphy. McKay, I really appreciate you staying up with me and joining me on the podcast.
Hey, man, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. No doubt about it. Let's get underway, and let's just get right into it. Give the listeners a quick introduction about yourself and your overall collegiate career at Weber State.
Oh, man. So Weber State, I guess my collegiate career started at University of Utah. I used my redshirt freshman year at the University of Utah. That was the 2013 season. And then one of the coaches there, Jay Hill, took the head coaching job at Weber State. And we thought, you know, transferring might be a good option. I was just a preferred walk-on at Utah State out of high school. At University of Utah. So I transferred to Weber State, started my freshman year there. My sophomore year, I sat out because I had torn my ACL late in spring ball. Mm-hmm. So I missed that whole season, wasn't able to get it back. Played my junior year there, was honorable mention all conference. And, I mean, was kind of disappointed with that because it wasn't the goal I had set. So I went back my senior year, thought I had a pretty good year, ended up being first team all conference that year, this most recent season. It was a great time.
Hey, definitely. Like you said, this year was a great year, not only for you, but for the Weber State program, as you guys won that title, went deep in the FCS playoffs. And let's talk about this season. Like I said, you guys had a really excellent season, 11-3. Just barely lost to the number one seed JMU Dukes out of the Colonial Conference. You know, guys played really tough, lost 31-28. Just talk about this season, the goals that you had set individually for yourself, because you had a pretty good season individually as well, and just the goals as a team. What did you guys expect to do this year, unlike from like 2016?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I always had the goal. I wanted to be first team all conference. You know, I didn't want anything less than that. And I mean, I think my numbers definitely, my stats definitely reflect that. You know, I worked hard all off season to get to that achievement. I ended up with, I think, 14, 15 TFLs, four mm-hmm. sacks, some PBUs, 40 or something tackles. And so I felt like it was a very productive year for me. But I mean, again, kind of the bigger picture was how we performed as a team. I mean, I was just trusting the schemes that we had, that our coaches had in place and our team. I mean, my first year when we got there, we went 2-9, I think, however many games we played, and 2-8. I can't remember how many games total we played, but we only won two. And, you know, kind of that group of kids that came in that year as freshmen, you know, we didn't want that to continue on. We didn't want that to be a trend because the couple years before Coach Hill had come in, you know, they were a losing program. We were only winning 2-3 games a year. So every year we'd make the same goal. It was to be Big Sky champs and to work like we were going to get that. And, you know, we started to expect it. You know, we didn't get it that next year or the next year, although we kept improving. But it just goes to show, you know, we set that goal a long time ago and we were saying Big Sky champs 4 years ago and it wasn't happening. But it was awesome to be able to see that this senior year. I mean, like you said, we went pretty deep. It was statistically the best team in Weber State history, and it was just awesome to be, you know, a part of that. Just be, you know, just, I mean, realistically, just a pretty small part of that. I was just one of 22 guys out there on the field. So, yeah, it was just a really fun year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely a fun year. And like you said, you guys, you know, like you said, the first couple years, two wins, but the goal was always to win a Big Sky title, and you kind of spoke it into an existence, and it happened. And like you said, you know, had a good season, beat Western Illinois and beat Southern Utah, who you guys lost to in the regular season, so I know that had to be pretty sweet to get them back in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and then,
that was a good one.
And then just losing to a team in James Madison who was like a powerhouse in the conference and all of FCS is, I think, like you said, was a pretty good season for you guys. And like you said, you seniors, which, you know, we've seen talking when we're going to talk about your pro day, you seniors left a pretty good mark on the program and left it in good standing where now, like you said, the younger guys can now come behind you all and build on what y'all did this past season.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's awesome to be able to say, you know, I was a part of the best team in Weber State history, but I mean, I wouldn't be upset at all if the guys go out next year and, you know, do better than we did this year. I mean, it's even though I'm not out there with them, you know, I hope I was able to be a, you know, a good enough leader, a good enough example to kind of pave that way for them. And you know, even though I'm not out there on the field with them, I'm still going to probably be just as excited when they're winning. And, yeah, excited to see where they go in the future.
Hey, no doubt about it. And you guys, I think this, like I said, the way y'all played, I think y'all are up there right now with Damian Lillard in Weber State history. Like, it just goes Damian Lillard, Weber State football, like 1A, 1B with the way you guys played. So it's great to see that. And when we talk about your game individually as a defensive tackle, had a chance to look at your film on a huddle and definitely came impressed with the way you played. Definitely a strong presence in the inside. Who do you try to model your game after as a defensive tackle? When you watch the NFL on Sundays or even before then, who was a player that you looked up to and say, okay, I want to try to mold my game after him and try to do the things that he does on the field?
You know, it's kind of hard because there's a couple people, and I wouldn't say I would try to model it after one, but I would just try and incorporate a bunch of different things from a bunch of different guys. I mean, I remember I can't remember when the first time I read about him, it was a while ago, but reading about and hopefully some people don't, because I know some people like him and some people don't, but I always loved Ndamukong Su, just watching him and just how powerful he was. Just, I mean, I just always wanted to be that, just like, you know, just pose my will on the offensive lineman. I felt like he always did that, but so, yeah, I watched him. I remember reading an article about him in Sports Illustrated forever ago, and just I remember always whenever they were playing, I was always glued to him. But then, I think two really big ones have recently been J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald. I know they're probably two of the more popular guys. I mean, but it's just so cool to see them, you know, line up anywhere on the defensive line and be just as big of a threat as anywhere else. And I mean, especially Aaron Donald, you see a guy who's kind of undersized and, you know, isn't your prototypical defensive lineman, but he's just a freak. He's just a technician, just super athletic and just the way he pulls things off. So that's what I always wanted to be, was you know, one of those types of players where, you know, you could put me anywhere on the defensive line and I'd be able to do the job that I needed to do. And so those were probably the big two that just these last couple of years I've really been, you know, watching and pulling up videos on YouTube, trying to see what they do and different things like that. I saw a clip recently of Aaron Donald practicing with knives, but I don't think I'm ever going to step into that.
Don't want to get that far.
I'll let him do that. I'll get some foam pads and just stick with that. I don't know if I'm down to have a guy swing knives at me.
Nah, that seems kind of dangerous. And even when I didn't believe it at first that he was actually, you know, training with knives. I was like, this ain't a joke. This ain't real. And then all of a sudden, you just see him just and the knife's just going up and down, and I guess that helps him as defensive line.
Yeah,
you can see today things are very important to try to get away from people.
Yeah, I mean, we had when I was at the University of Utah, our defensive line coach was an old MMA fighter, and so he'd always teach us these fighting techniques to get control of the hands and work offensive linemen like that. So like I said, I'll probably be sticking with those instead of the sharp objects.
Let's stay away from sharp objects. We gotta keep the NFL career longevity. We don't need to mess around with time. But
yeah,
like you said, demolishing a game after Ndamukong, looking up at guys like Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, and Jimmy, who are all three just outstanding defensive linemen, and they all bring something different to the table. You look at Ndamukong Suh, the first thing you think of is his physicality and how strong he is, and the way he can, like you said, just push guys around. And J.J. Watt, he has that combination of speed and strength on the outside, and then Aaron Donald, this guy, he's kind of revolutionizing the game as a defensive tackle. We thought Ndamukong Suh was going to do that, and Aaron Donald has took it to a next level. So, can't be. That's pretty good company.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we continue to look at your game, and like you said, had an outstanding year this year, career year across the board, 40 total tackles. 14 TFLs, 4 sacks, 3 pass deflections, 1 forced fumble. What do you believe is that one strength that you're really proud of and you say to people, like, this is the best part of my game? And then on the flip side, what is that one weakness that right now you feel like it's a weak point right now in your game, but if you continue to work on it, it become one of your bigger strengths down the road?
Yeah. Let's see. So as far as my strengths, I think probably my biggest strength that I believe I have is I don't quite know how to put it. I think I guess I could say like my initial get off the
mm-hmm.
just being able to get my hands on the offensive lineman, whether it's a run or pass. just being able to get out of my stance and get into them and just be disruptive, whether or not I'm making the play or not. But I mean, a lot of those TFLs came from, it was just the defensive call, but I just beat the offensive lineman out of my stance, you know, like, just basically run around him and run into the running back 5 yards in the backfield. And so that's what I feel like my biggest strength is. I remember after the Portland State game, I only played the first half because it was not a very close game. We were beating them pretty good. So I sat out after halftime, and their head coach came up to me after the game, and he said, "Hey, I love watching you on film. You're super disruptive. Like, we wanted to change our offense this week, to match up against you specifically." And that was just like the biggest compliment I feel like I could have ever received. And that's what I always tried to do, was just be disruptive, whether or not, again, it's pass or run, but just getting off the ball, getting my hand into the offensive linemen. If they're in front of me, if I'm beating them, then I'm around them and I'm in the backfield. I feel like my biggest weakness, which I feel like was still pretty good. I mean, definitely could have been better. Is my pass rush. I feel like I did a pretty consistent job of putting pressure on the quarterback, but I would always remember go back and watching film and just be like, man, like, I could have done this right here on this pass. I could have just mixed it up a little bit, thrown in a couple different moves. Sometimes I think I would just do the same move over and over again. And I think I'm quick enough. I think I'm good at working hands on an offensive lineman. So I think it's just something, hopefully I can get into camp and fine tune with the team, and that'll become one of my bigger strengths. I feel like I said, I have the speed to work a good pass rush. It's just got to come down to fine tuning everything.
There ain't no doubt about it, and I think that's something that we can all just apply to just life, just fine tuning our skills and our crafts, and how do we make ourselves better in those crafts. And that's one thing that I saw in your, as I said, I had a chance to watch your film, and that's one thing that did stand out to me, was how you were able to get off on the snap and how you were disruptive in the backfield, creating that havoc, just pushing the offensive linemen back. Or, you had, like you said, there was points where, all other day were game planning for you, and there was sometimes two guys double teaming you, and you found your way to just get past both of them and make a play in the backfield. So that's definitely a great quality to have for a defensive lineman. Like you said, the pass rushing, that will come, and like you said, in due time with more fine-tuning and technique. And when I had a chance to watch your film, one thing, a player that came to mind when I was watching you was a former Eagles defensive lineman. Now he's with the Tennessee Titans. Benny Logan. Watching you, there's so similarity, remind me of Benny Logan and just how he obviously played next to Fletcher Cox, but how just disruptive he was in the backfield, and how he would not all the time get the sacks or the TFL, but he was just being that force in the middle, just pushing the offensive line back, just pushing them back into the quarterback pocket. So that's just one player that kind of just came to mind when I had a chance to watch you.
No, well, I mean, thank you. I mean, whenever you get compared to an NFL player, I mean, it's awesome. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, no doubt about it. And we are here on the Total Sports Live podcast with 2018 NFL draft prospect, Weber State defensive tackle McKay Murphy, here on Blog Talk Radio. And McKay, when we, this is a question. There's always a question there everybody wants me to ask when I do these podcasts. When we interview many numerous draft prospects, and that is, what is your motivation when it comes to the game of football? What keeps you going as you, went through training and you're gearing up for the next level, in your career to the NFL? What keeps you going during these moments right now to say, it's all going to be worth it at the end because I got to do it?
Yeah, no, I'd say I'm pretty fortunate because I kind of got an easy answer. But my family, I'm married. I've been married for, she's going to get mad if I get, I think 3 years now, a little over 3 years. We have a 2-year-old daughter and then a son that actually was born just a couple weeks before Pro Day. He's a month old on Thursday.
Okay.
Or he might be 5 weeks old on Thursday. So yeah, I mean, they're easily the biggest motivating factor in my life. I mean, one thing that I could say is it's also always been a dream of mine,
mm-hmm.
ever since, when you start playing Pee Wee football, everybody's talking, playing little league football. You're like, oh, you want to play in the NFL, want to play in the league, da, 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 da. And I mean, like, I would say that when I was younger, but I mean, it's just was always true. Like, it's what I've always wanted to do. And so, I mean, I feel like sometimes I don't really have a choice whether or not to work hard or go for it. Cause I mean, it's, like I said, I've been talking about it my whole life, but I mean, as far as my family goes, yeah, I mean, they're the number one thing because that's important than me. That's more important than what I want. And so it's not that I'm doing this for me now to be able to look back and, talk to all those kids I played Pee Wee football with and say like, look, I made it, but it's to be able to, provide a future for my kids and my wife and provide them with everything they need. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's kind of I don't want to say corny, but it's yeah, I mean, that's what my motivation and everything is right now.
Hey, that is not a corny answer. Trust me, you are not the only person that has given that answer because it's so true and it's so real. Congratulations on the newborn, by the way. I know
you have been
pretty happy about that as a dad, and now, like I said, then you'll become an NFL player in a couple of weeks. So it's just like, this is a great, like, 2018 for you. We just gotta keep it going. And you mentioned your family, and doing some research on it, you come from a pretty athletic family, big family at that. Before we talk about your pops, because I mean, he's just like Atlanta Braves great and everything like that. Let's talk about the Bros. The Bros played in the NFL. How was that? Seeing your older brothers playing in the NFL and getting an opportunity as you coming up and growing up and say, you know what, they're in the NFL. If they're in it, I think I can get to it too.
Yeah. I think it kind of helped me in that sense. It kind of helped me realize that it was, a goal that was reachable. It's a hard goal, but it's definitely possible. And I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but I think if three of us were to make it in the NFL, that might be a family record or something. I'm not sure, but. But no, it was always really cool. I never got to go see any of them play. I always had high school football going on, or most recently with my brother Jake, I had college football going on, obviously. But it was really interesting because I kind of saw two different perspectives on it. My brother Sean, the older brother who played, so I got six older brothers. Sean is the third oldest in my family. He played at Utah State, and then he was drafted in the fourth round by the Dolphins. So, I mean, he is a pretty decent, pretty high draft pick. I mean, not first rounder, obviously, but I mean, he got drafted, right? So it was really fortunate for him, and he was with the Dolphins for a year. He bounced around. He was with the Bucks for a year. Was with Carolina for a year doing the practice squad, and he was in camp with the Broncos, and he had to get surgery on both of his ankles. So once that happened, it kind of went. But so I kind of saw his perspective, right, where he, was getting drafted,
mm-hmm.
highly touted. And then I also saw my brother Jake, who was also pretty highly touted. I mean, out of his he left University of Utah. He played tight end there after he left after his junior year. And you know what we had been hearing, and kind of the information we had received was that he was, you know, going to get drafted. I can't remember how the tight end class was. I know Eric Ebron came out that year, but that's the only one I remember. I'm not sure if it was a super strong class other than a couple guys. And so it looked like, you know, what had been told to him was between the third and sixth round, I think, to be drafted in. So it was kind of tough because we were all together as a family watching it, and then round and round went by, and he never got drafted. We're not sure what ended up happening, but I'm not sure what ended up happening, but he ended up signing a free agent deal with the Raiders, was there for a little bit. And then he was with the Bengals for about a year doing practice squad with them. So I've kind of seen, you know, a guy get drafted and go through that process. And then I've seen guy go, you know, undrafted free agent and go through that process. And so they're both pretty different, but at the end of the day, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you get in camp with a team and all you need is one shot. So yeah, it was definitely interesting growing up with having two brothers that were able to do that.
Hey, and like you said, definitely you were able to see it from both sides of the spectrum. Like you said, one get drafted, another who, you know, it seemed like he was going to get drafted, but things didn't fall out that way. Got a free agent deal. So you kind of, like you said, you saw both sides of how the draft process goes for you. And then, like I said, you do have a pretty famous father. I mean, we here in Philadelphia, we know about the Atlanta Braves very well. And Pops was pretty decorated career with the Braves, the Atlanta Braves great. Talk about that. Pops, Dale Murphy, an outstanding baseball player. And did you ever consider playing baseball? Did it ever cross your mind, like, maybe I want to go play baseball?
I mean, looking back, I always tell people, I think my biggest regret is not playing baseball longer. I played till about eighth grade and then decided that I just didn't like it very much. I think at the time, I don't know what it was. I just really liked football and baseball. There was a lot of sitting around, you know, waiting for a ball to get hit your way, waiting for your turn to bat. And it was just kind of, I mean, looking back, I'm like, wow, that's great. You know, you get to play sports and you just get to kind of hang out with your buddies. But, and maybe that was the thing that kind of turned me off from it, was the, you know, the intensity and the physicality wasn't there like it was with football. And so I did play up until eighth grade. I do wish I would have played a little longer. I don't know if anything would have panned out from it. I don't know if I would have been able to play anymore in college or anything. But, you know, I do wish I would have stuck it out and played a little more. But, yeah, my dad was always super supportive, whatever decision we made. He was actually my coach when I quit. So, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird, but I did have a couple brothers that I did have a couple brothers that kept playing baseball throughout high school and a couple in college, but yeah, it wasn't for me.
Hey, like you said, you had a couple that played baseball, had a couple that played football. So yeah, I mean, can't go wrong with that. It's like you said, to have, you know, pops, you know, being supportive and everything. I know that definitely means a lot, you know, as you go through your NFL journey. I promise I will not do the tomahawk chop over here because I'm just like a pure Phillies fan and I just can't do that. And if anybody knows that, I'll probably be disowned. I'm not.
Well,
he was
with the Phillies for a couple of years. I think maybe just one. Maybe just one or two years. But yeah, he was with the Braves majority of his career, and then he went to Philadelphia for a couple seasons.
Wow.
And then he was with the Rockies for his last year.
Wow.
So,
see,
yeah.
I didn't even know that. Now I got to do my MLB history after this podcast. Though. I'm going to do my research because I got to see when this happened. Because it might have happened when I was younger, because me and you are like the same age apparently too. We both born in 91, so we're like the same age. So I have to like go do my history to see like when
did this
happen. Did it happen before?
It was probably before, right around the time we were born. Yeah. So that's I don't even remember. He retired pretty soon after I was born. So I don't remember watching him play. I've seen videos, but I don't remember ever watching him in person.
Hey, maybe one day you'll be on. He was on MLB films. Maybe one day you'll be on NFL films. Can't beat that.
hopefully,
that'd
be cool.
Hey, no doubt. And as I said, we are joined here on Total Sports Live podcast with 2018 NFL draft prospect McKay Murphy from Weber State. McKay, got a couple more questions for you. Really appreciate you hanging out and spending some time on the pod. Let's talk about your pro day experience. Pro day was pretty phenomenal. I heard about the numbers. I couldn't believe it. But after I saw the film, I definitely was a believer. 4.8 40-yard dash, a vertical jump of 31, a broad jump of 9'6", 3 cones, 7.2 seconds, and I heard you put up a lot of reps apparently on the bench press. How many reps did you put up on the bench press?
Okay. I got to correct something. Cuz I saw it going around on Twitter that I did 40.
Right.
Which is partially true, but I didn't do it at pro day. Pro day, my official number was 24. I strained a muscle in my pec while I was benching. A couple teams asked, you know, what I can do when I was healthy. My agent told some people what I could do when I was healthy. So 2 weeks prior to pro day, when we were practicing for it, you know, I hit 39. When we were training. So I was hoping, you know, that my strength was kind of going to be the thing that set me apart at pro day. So the 40 is there. It just didn't happen that day. I was so mad when it happened. Cause you know, I was hoping, you know, 290. I think the only people that have done that many reps are probably well over 300 pounds. So I wanted to kind of blow some teams away with how strong I was. And, you know, that happened and I was kind of bummed, but I just knew I had to kill the rest of the day. So yeah, I mean, I went out, I think the fastest time I got clocked at was a 4.81, which was, I mean, I was super happy about that. But yeah, I had to correct you on the bench reps. Cause I'm not sure how it kind of got out there that I actually did 40, but, I think I can when I'm healthy.
Hey, if you can do 40 while you're healthy, I mean, that's pretty dominant for someone your size and that speed. I mean, that makes me scared if I was offensive lineman.
Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, once my pecs are right about back to 100%, I mean, if someone wants to see film, we'll go in and train it and record it and get that out there. But I mean, I think scouts will see. I mean, hopefully they noticed the pace that I was going at. I mean, I did 23 without stop, and then kind of felt something in my pec, and did one more, and knew I was needed to stop. But that's kind of my thing. If anybody wants to see film, if anybody cares that much, maybe there. But that's all.
Yes, we will get it out on the interwebs as soon as possible. But like you said, the pro day experience was amazing. You put up great numbers. You don't have to divulge this information, but just want to know after your pro day was over, did any team speak to you afterwards? Do you have anything lined up in terms of visits for you? What's pretty much going on?
So I don't have anything lined up in terms of visits. I mean, there has been, I've gotten some phone calls from a couple scouts. My agent's been talking to a couple scouts. But yeah, there's been a lot of really good feedback. Feedback I wasn't ready for. I mean, after we had been done running and I did the defensive line drills at Pro Day. The scouts approached us. They said, okay, we have a request for Murphy and Voller, our tight end, to do some blocking drills. And so I assumed that it was offensive line. I did a little bit in high school, a little bit at Utah. And so that's kind of what I jumped to. And then we were doing the drills and they said, no, we want you to line up as a fullback. So, I mean, I wasn't really prepared for that. But, whatever teams can use me as, I'd be happy to do. If teams want to put me in as fullback, teams want to put me in as a kicker or whatever, I'll do it. And then I had one scout talk to me, wanted me to go out and run routes and film them and send them in. So kind of took me a second to register that too. But, yeah, he was talking to me about playing tight end. So that was, again, more of a blocking tight end. But still, either way, there's been a lot of feedback after Pro Day. There's a couple teams that have been in pretty consistent contact. And, it's, like I said, the kind of some unexpected news too. But it's been it's just been really fun afterwards to kind of go from being a guy that there wasn't a lot of buzz about Pro Day to, a lot of conversations happening afterwards.
Hey, no doubt about it. Like you said, for you to go in there as a defensive lineman, then to come out and say, hey, we need to do some fullback stuff, we need to do some tight end stuff, that's pretty impressive and shows off your versatility. Because like you said, at the end of the day, whatever they need you to play to make the NFL, you're going to do it, kicker, fullback, whatever. And it reminds me of a guy that I actually interviewed a couple years ago, Julian Hauser. He was actually a defensive end at a D2 school here in Pennsylvania. And he got picked up at a DFA, got picked up at a defensive end, and then he got converted into a fullback. So he went from defensive end to fullback, spent some time with the Jets as a fullback, and now is back at the defensive end in the CFL. So, I mean, hey, it's been seen that defensive linemen can become fullbacks. So, I mean, all of this is blocking and mowing people over, and I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have no problem mowing some guys over on offense.
Yeah, I mean, just tell me who to go hit, right? I mean, just tell me where to line up, tell me what direction to run and who to look for, and I'll do it.
Hey, just look for the opposing jersey on the opposite side. Just run after them and just knock them out. That's what you got to do. But just a couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. Second to last question is, if I was an NFL GM and you had to tell me why I should select you with our draft pick on our team, what would you say to me or to any scout or GM that might listen to this podcast?
Man, I've always pictured or imagined someone asking me this question, and I've never been able to think of an answer that, I feel like that's the solid answer I need to give, but man, I just feel like I'm the type of guy. I mean, I want to say dependable, and not just dependable, like I'm going to be on time and I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do that you guys expect of me. But, I'm going to do everything I can to put myself into position to be the best that I can be. Whether it's a little thing, just like getting enough sleep at night, diet, spending time with my family, different things like that. I was a captain this last year at Weber State, but I've never been the most, vocal, amped up guy trying to get everybody pumped up. I've just, I've always kind of just taken the mentality, just put my nose down and work and do everything that I can to make myself better and make my team better. And I mean, that's what I think it comes down to is being dependable, being accountable. And you don't got to worry about me. Like I said, I've got a wife and kids. I'm not going to try and do anything stupid to put, our future in jeopardy. I'm not going to you know, go out and party, or, I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke. I'm not going to be one of those guys you have to worry about. I'm just going to do everything I can to make myself better, make the team better. And again, like we were talking about earlier, you know, provide a future for my family.
Hey, no doubt about it. I got to respect that answer. And, you know, if I was the GM, I would have you on my team just based on that and just based on what you've done. And that's just being real honest answers. And, you know, I respect it and believe it from you. And one more question, one more. This one is not going to be tough since the previous one. So you can, it's all right now. we good with this one. All right, so here we go. Toughest player and team you faced in your career?
Oh, toughest player and team?
Yeah, or we can go We can go or too. We don't have to go and. We can go or.
I'll go and, because I think there's one player that has always stuck out to me, but then I think there's certain teams that have always had, you know, a better total unit as an offensive line. But I think, man, the toughest player I ever played against is okay. There's two, but they're brothers, so it counts.
Okay.
The older brother is Tyler Larson. I believe he's with the Panthers now, the center. I played him my junior year. He was at Utah State, and his younger brother, I think his first name is Zach Larson. He's down at Southern Utah right now. But they're both technicians. Zach, the one down at Southern Utah right now, he's a little undersized, so people kind of write him off. And so it's a lot like, you know, Aaron Donald. You might look at him and you say, okay, this guy's not that big. He's not that. I obviously know Aaron Donald's very, very muscular and very imposing, but you look at this guy and you think, okay, maybe he's not, you know, he can't be that tough, but he's just so, such a technician. You know, once he catches you leaning, man, he's going to catch you good. And his older brother, Tyler, was the exact same way. He was a little bit bigger, but man, they're both just tough kids. And just, like I said, technicians just all the way around. But then toughest team, I'd probably have to give that to, the Western Illinois team that came up to Weber State this year. They were, man, they were just all across the line. Their center was really good too. I think Jacob Judd maybe was his first name. Just an athletic dude at center. Their whole O-line was solid. They were all big dudes just all the way across the board. And I mean, yeah, it was a fun team to play against. It's always more fun looking back to look at those teams, and even though they were tougher, even though they were a little bit better, it's always so much fun to think of just how, you know, kind of how grimy those games were, just grinding the whole time through. And yeah, they were a tough team.
And I can't go wrong with those choices. Like you said, the Larson brothers, and how, like you said, technicians on the offensive line. Then, like you said, Western Illinois, you know, that team for the past couple years has definitely been a power in the Missouri Valley Conference. So for them, you know, like I said, to give you guys a tough test and tough battle, and you guys were able to make it through, it's a pretty good job by you guys at the Weber State Wildcats. And that's pretty everything today. McKay, I really appreciate you coming on, spending some time on the Total Sports Live podcast. Before we wrap up, any last words or anything you'd like to say before we end this?
No, man, not that I can think of. Just appreciate you having me on. Appreciate being able to talk a little bit about myself and let some people know, you know, what's going on. So, I mean, any opportunity to do that is, you know, I'm grateful for. So thank you again for having me on and letting me talk a little bit.
Hey, no doubt about it. And that's for wrap with the Total Sports Live podcast here on Block Talk Radio. Thanks again for everybody tuning in. Make sure you keep an eye on NFL draft this month. You know, this keep an eye on McKay Murphy from Weber State. This guy can play some serious football. The Big Sky Conference is on the rise. Keep an eye on Weber State football because they're going to be really good, too. Best believe it after the year they had. So keep an eye on all these things. Keep on checking out the Total Sports Wild podcast. We will talk to you guys very soon. Thanks again for everybody tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.